Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. Has there been a decline in corporate ethics? We'll look at scandals at Uber, Wells Fargo, Penn State, and others with a leading expert on corporate ethics, and she'll tell us how to build cultures of strong ethics and integrity in corporate America. That's tonight on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Dr. Patricia Harnett is CEO of the Ethics and Compliance Initiative. She's an expert on ethics in the workplace, corporate governance, global integrity, and she's advised senior leaders on effective ways to build an ethical culture, promote integrity in organizational activities, served as a consultant to such leading organizations as Penn State University after the Sandusky scandal, Daimler-Benz, and the New York Stock Exchange. She has an upcoming book titled Why Scandals Happen and How to Avoid Them. Welcome, Dr. Larned. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let me just start off with, often ethics are kind of considered a soft subject, sometimes not taken seriously. I'd asked a business school professor, a leading one, interviewing on a different subject, and I said, do you feel you can teach ethics within the core curriculum as a course? And he said their problem is the students aren't interested in it, and then they've got to, try to respond to, student consumer demand, if you will. Tell us why we should take it seriously and what the mission of Ethics and Compliance Initiative is.
Sure. Well, ethics should be taken seriously by anybody that wants to work in a company, any kind of workplace, because if you're working for an organization that doesn't care about ethics over time, you'll start to be working for an organization that has a toxic culture and is higher risk for having major misconduct taking place. Every single human being has a set of values that we grow up with, that we operate our lives with, and most of us want to work in organizations where we're able to make good decisions every day and trusted for that, and that's what ethics is all about. Our organization is a research organization. It's America's oldest nonprofit organization that has been dedicated to understanding how to promote integrity in workplaces. We also have a membership community of ethics and compliance practitioners from business and government, from nonprofits, from all over the world.
Do you have a sense, or is there any evidence that corporate ethics have been worsening over time, or is there kind of a constant level?
We've been studying ethics in business organizations since 1994. We do a survey of the U.S. workforce, and last year we expanded it globally to 13 countries. But as we've looked at how much misconduct employees observe in their workplace, it's kind of interesting. It follows a pattern. It tends to be parallel to how business is doing overall, how the average S&P index is doing, but it's an inverse relationship. So when the economy is good, there tends to be more misconduct, and when the economy is bad, there's less misconduct.
Is there a basic sort of underlying theme about why scandals happen? Failure of corporate culture, whatever, and can you predict that they're likely to happen in certain toxic cultures?
Well, there are several reasons why scandals happen in an organization. The first is that a problem has been happening somewhere in the company. It's been allowed to persist. But more importantly, and it's not because management knows there's somebody who's breaking the law and they just let them continue. The other big piece of it is that often management is unaware that there is a problem happening. And that is a reflection of the culture of the organization. Most of the time after a big scandal has happened, we often learn that there were employees who were aware that there were issues. They might not have known all the details, but they tend to have enough of a sense that there's a problem that they should come forward or they try to come forward, but they are either afraid to come forward for fear of their jobs, or if they do report to management, they experience retaliation for having done so. And those are the big reasons why when you see organizations facing very big problems that are all over the news, it tends to be that sort of pattern. The last piece of it is that an organization has problems going on, management's not aware, people aren't coming forward to report it, but then the media picks up on it, and it's actually the media that gives the label scandal to an organization. And once you start to have public attention, it's usually a landslide from there.
Interesting. Can regulations and fines essentially regulate behavior, or a toxic culture needs to be addressed separately from just trying to put rules and fines on top of it?
I think that what regulation tends to do is it helps to raise the importance of an ethics and compliance program within a company. But on its best day, no regulation, no amount of fines will improve a company culture. Yeah. Culture changes because managers are committed to it. They understand the importance of it. And that starts at the very top of the organization and goes all the way through the company. Most often when an organization has experienced big problems and then they're paying big fines, usually long after the fact, and so there's new leadership in the company, so it costs them a lot of money, but it's not actually punishing the right people.
All right, now we're going to look at some real-world cases, some of which you've been involved in and others you're going to opine on for us. And one that's been in the news right now is, of course, the Uber scandal and the CEO being thrown out and a new guy being brought in. Give us your perspective on that.
Uber's been an interesting company to watch as there's been so much coverage and the exposure of so many different problems that have been happening. I think, above all, the biggest issue for Uber was that it was a startup company. And when you're often a startup, especially in the high-tech industry, you have to be aggressive. You have to, you have a certain set of standards. But I think as Uber grew, they didn't change the standards to go along with the growth of the company. And they neglected the importance of having a set of values that really guide people's decisions so that they're creating a good workplace. So once Uber started to have one problem exposed and the media became involved in looking at all of the headlines and looking into what was happening, you started to see problem after problem after problem emerge. So I think in a lot of ways, Uber has been very hampered by public perception that it's a sexist workplace, that they've got issues of discrimination. They've undertaken some efforts to be operating in cities and dodging authorities through secret software. They've certainly had problems with the allegations that they've stolen the intellectual property of their competitors. You know, all of these things, some of them have been borne out. There have been investigations that have shown that the culture was not the best for women. Some of the other allegations haven't been proven yet, but in a lot of ways, the public perception has very much changed towards the company.
What suggestions would you make for them to remediate this culture?
One of the first things I would suggest is to think very seriously about, there's been a lot of recommendations to the company that they focus on diversity in the workplace, that they address issues of how women are treated, and those are very important recommendations, but I would suggest that they broaden the lens and think about, if we are operating with the highest level of integrity, what does that actually look like? And what are the values that we want our employees to operate with when they're making decisions every day? And then to build an ethics and compliance program that gives some structure to that basic concept. Because once you have that overall lens and it's driving how you make big business decisions, the rest sort of follows along after that. Uber clearly has a workplace, or in the past, Susan Fowler, who wrote a blog entry talking about her experience at Uber, spoke a lot about people are afraid to come forward. There's retaliation for having done so. A focus on a set of values, training managers to invite people to raise concerns and how to respond to it responsibly will go a long way for them.
In under a minute, just to finish up on Uber, it's a relatively young company, which meant it reflected its CEO and I assume founder pretty directly. Is getting him out of the culture key to this transition, and is it a risk since he was the original guy?
Well, certainly he built the company, had a lot of passion for it, and I'm sure for a lot of employees it's uncertain to have a new CEO come in, but I do think it was a necessary decision. There were so many allegations against him in particular, but also I just think the company needs a change of leadership.
You listen to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the BizTalk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. You can go to biztalkradio.com, find out station closest to you, listen over the internet, get access to our podcast. We'll look at some more ethics scandals with Dr. Harnett. Dr. Lysuni, get back.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back. Our guest CEO of ECI, Ethics and Compliance Initiative, Pat Harned. And Pat was brought in to help with the cleanup in the Sandusky scandal that almost brought Penn State University to its knees. My nephew was a student there, in fact. And it really hit the campus. And I don't know if the issue was willful blindness there that this went on for so long, but tell us how you helped address it.
Sure. And to be fair, Penn State had been given recommendations when there was an investigation that had been conducted, and they assembled their own volition, a very good leadership team internally in the university that set about making sure that not only did they understand all the issues that were still happening on campus and understand the culture of the university, but they also wanted to make sure that they learned from mistakes that had happened or problems that had happened, and really have done an amazing job of trying to make some institutional changes. Our organization, one of the things that the university wanted to do was to understand the culture of the university. So we were brought in to help them do a culture assessment. We conducted a survey of all faculty, staff, and students on all 26 campuses. So it was about 110,000 people that we conducted a survey with.
Wow.
And the survey was about how people perceive their connection to the university when they understand what the culture is. How do they get that understanding? We asked some questions about whether people are observing wrongdoing, and if they are, do they report it? We asked a lot of questions about what did people think should be the values of the university. Penn State had a longstanding value statement, but they were interested in revisiting it to be sure that it reflected the community's priorities. So overall, it was a very comprehensive survey effort. Much credit goes to the university because they had a lot of folks, faculty, staff, and students that were actively engaged in shaping the question set. And on the other side of it, when they finished and all the analysis was done, they released the report and data publicly. So they were very transparent about it, and I think they learned a great deal.
And the changes, I guess, over time have been genuine. I think it's almost nice to see at this end that the football team is back in the top five, and obviously everything is running clean. The changes have been genuine there, and they've been able to move on?
Absolutely. One of the things that Penn State did, they've actually become a flagship of universities, especially in the Big Ten, but I would argue across higher education. They were among the first to develop a values-based ethics and compliance program that is a best practice program. It addresses ethics and compliance issues within the administration, but it also has outreach to the academic side of the house and also to the student affairs function. So they hired a chief ethics and compliance officer. They put an integrity officer connected with that function into the athletics program. Hmm. They've developed a code of conduct and a value statement. They've done a lot of work to help people understand that there are places they can go to report wrongdoing, and they've publicized that. They're starting to develop some really interesting training programs for management, and all of these are things that if I were walking into an organization who wanted to be a best practice program, these would be the things I would tell them they should be doing, and Penn State has done it. They really, and I think now they have a strong interest in trying to make sure that other universities do the same.
That's very interesting. Obviously, you've had an impact, modestly, because a lot of what you describe seems what the formula or the recipe you'd put in. Just to finish up, so there's a chief integrity guy in the athletic department. So the reporting vehicles have been set up so that this guy has the freedom to do what he needs to do if he's seen something?
The first person that took that job was a woman.
Okay.
But, yeah, and yes, that person has been the intention. Was to have somebody that had outreach into the athletics program, was meeting with athletes, doing training, working with coaches to help them understand what the ethics and compliance program was and how to raise concerns if they had them. And really it was, it is one extension of a much more comprehensive program that they've put into place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really interesting to see it happening. And in fairness, I'm not sure I can take a whole lot of credit for that other than we were really privileged to be able to come in and support the survey effort and to offer some thoughts and connect their chief ethics and compliance officer with some folks in the industry. And a lot of it they have done by networking and benchmarking, and they've also brought in people who have had experience with other organizations coming in.
All right, let's talk about a toxic culture, man. The Fox scandal under Roger Ailes, and apparently there that this had been going on for years. And I once read the civil complaint against Bill O'Reilly, who they paid $10 million over the years for to settle. And when he beats these people up on the air who sue him, and then you see the evidence, it just makes you sick that this thing went on for so long. Talk about the Fox scandal.
I think one of the things, what I know about the Fox issues have been what I've read in the news, like much like most other people that have probably been following that story as it unfolded. But in a lot of ways, that situation is a reflection of so many issues that companies face over the years when the senior person has a lot of power, has a lot of depth in the organization, and is also making some pretty bad decisions personally or, you know, in terms of how they're relating with other employees.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that you start to see as an organization begins to develop a culture that is a toxic environment, again, you see people can't come forward to report problems, but you also see other, you know, it becomes a part of the norm, how we behave, how we treat other employees. It was so disappointing to see, first of all, that Roger Ailes was engaging in these in all kinds of unwanted,
mm-hmm.
you know, advances to women, but also that there were other senior people within the network that were also alleged to have done the same, and potentially even decisions by the network to try to keep it quiet and not necessarily address the problems.
Do you see any sign that this culture is going to change? Obviously, Ailes is gone.
I'm not as familiar with what has been happening on the inside. I certainly haven't seen a whole lot of stories coming out about what they're doing internally. If they are taking steps to bring in leadership and quite frankly, to do exactly what we've seen other organizations do, like Penn State, bringing in people who are familiar with how do you change a culture, how do you get employees to feel more comfortable and valued in the environment where they're working. If they're doing those things, I would say, yes, there will be change. But if they don't take those things seriously, I don't think there will be change. And we certainly, you know, those are some of the basic principles of how these programs are effective.
And we're going to be back in the next segment. We're going to talk about Wells Fargo and a couple of other scandals. More on corporate and government ethics coming right up with the CEO of ECI Ethics and Compliance Initiative, Pat Harnan. Stay with us.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Attention hernia mesh implant surgery patients. A popular hernia surgery product has been linked to a high rate of complications and injuries. If you or a loved one had a surgery where a hernia mesh was implanted and have experienced pain, infection, adhesions, mesh migration or product rejection, needed replacement or revision surgery, or other adverse reactions, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Call now for your free consultation. Call 800-706-6897. 800-706-6897. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back with corporate ethics expert, Dr. Pat Harned, and she's got a book coming out soon, Why Scandals Happen, How to Avoid Them, and we're going to look at some scandals now that sometimes where intense performance pressure has people do things that they shouldn't do. Wells Fargo has obviously been in the forefront of the news, the fake accounts they established, and also even more recently that they steered people towards mortgages with higher interest rates, telling them they would avoid certain fees and obviously enhancing their profitability at the expense of fiduciary responsibility to take care of customers. And there was tremendous performance pressures to get these cross-selling, get these accounts on the books. So tell us your thoughts on that and what Wells Fargo needs to do, because it doesn't seem to, the things keep coming from out of them.
Sure. Well, again, what I know about Wells Fargo is what has come out in the media from various articles and journalistic investigations, just like most other people that have been following that story. But Wells Fargo, in our industry, as people in the ethics and compliance profession, have also followed what's happening there. One of the conversations we have is the unintended consequences of incentive programs. And you know, so one element of it is you want people to be motivated. You want to give them rewards for selling, for opening accounts. But the unintended consequence when it's too much pressure or when the goals are unrealistic is that people feel like they have to cut corners just to be able to keep their jobs or to achieve those goals. And I think that's been one of the real challenges that made that whole practice of fake accounts become more widespread within the organization. In terms of steering people to mortgages that they couldn't afford, some of that, you know, it's not to excuse it, but the entire mortgage crisis and a lot of the financial scandal, it's a reflection of days gone by, mm-hmm. And not that we ever really resolve that problem in terms of who made what decisions and who is responsible. I think Wells Fargo, they certainly, it's getting back to the basics of what do we believe, how do we want people to make decisions, what are the values of the organization. But I also think Wells Fargo would benefit from a good comprehensive culture assessment to understand why employees, where they feel pressure, if there are places that they can be addressing other incentive programs or performance pressures that they might not be aware of.
And, you know, something that really bothered me about Wells Fargo as well is along with this intense pressure on performance, upper management seemed to take no responsibility for this. They fired thousands of these guys as this stuff came out in the middle management, lower level, branch manager level, and that seemed wrong to me.
I do think that there's been an effort to try, well, my take of that is that there's certainly an effort to try to hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. I do think if you're one of the remaining employees at Wells Fargo or any other organization, when you become aware that somebody in your company is breaking the rules or breaking the law, you want to know that your organization is actually going to do something about it. So, to assume the best of them, that's how I would interpret that. I also think that there have been some reports where Wells Fargo has done a review of its whistleblower program. They have been looking internally to try to understand how did this go on as long as it did, and also where there were allegations that people came forward and experienced retaliation, they've made efforts to try to understand how did that happen and how do we avoid that again in the future.
And, of course, they did replace the CEO finally. Okay. So let's look at a municipal example now. I guess you have some experience or understanding of the city of Chicago. What was involved there?
So the work we did with the city of Chicago, it actually goes back a ways. It was done in 2009. So it was different mayor, different, you know, lots of things happen over time. But the city had been interested in developing an integrity program, an ethics and compliance program. They had just put one in place, and they wanted to do some sort of a survey or an assessment to get a sense of what are the issues that should be priorities for the city and priorities for the program. So we helped them to distribute a survey among employees, all employees of the city of Chicago. It was a sample survey, but that was the intention. And again, it was a lot of questions about if you're feeling pressure, where do you feel pressure? What's your perception of the ethics of the senior leaders of the city? What's your relationship with your manager? And to what extent do you feel they are helping you to operate with a high standard of integrity? So it was a real effort by the city to try to get their arms around, if we're going to develop this program, how do we create what the goals are?
Has it been successful? And what drove bringing you in to do this?
We were brought in by the person that was at the time heading up the new program, the new ethics program. To my knowledge, that person is no longer with the city, and I don't know whether they actually have continued the program. I don't know that they haven't, but I also don't know that they have. The work that we did, the results were shared back with city leadership, and I know that at the time, the people that were heading up that program were very interested in trying to do some training for managers and a lot of outreach to city employees, but to what extent that actually happened, I'm not aware.
All right, what about BP now? This is the Deepwater Horizon scandal, I assume?
We were brought in by BP's ethics monitor. They, as a part, yes, in response to the Deepwater Horizon incident, BP, too, also undertook a very comprehensive effort to try to look at how do we avoid having similar issues happening again? And so BP, again, to their credit, they rolled out a new set of values for the organization. They retooled and restructured their ethics and compliance program. I know they made a lot of other changes for safety and, but beyond that, we actually, it's been several years now since the Deepwater Horizon incident. We were brought in to talk with employees very recently to look at the values of the organization and how real are they? Have they been adopted? Do people care about them? Do they actually, and also do they feel that there has been positive change in the organization over the last few years? And again, to BP's credit, employees, they have five values. They also have a set of behaviors that are associated with that. And people in the company know what the values are. They understand where they can go when they have concerns to raise. And most importantly, it's my view that this is a top-down initiative. So from the CEO all the way through that organization, I think they have taken very seriously the importance of culture, the importance of employees feeling comfortable coming forward. And so those are, I think, positive things.
You mentioned this before. I think it's a good idea that if several years down the road they bring you back in and see if they're actually living to the ethics and compliance and values you've set up. The interesting, what do you get your thoughts on increasingly what happens when a company's got criminal liability or take some of the banks from the mortgage crisis, they get deferred prosecution agreements rather than having to plead and risk the viability of the business. Monitors are brought in, and with them come ethics and compliance standards, et cetera. What do you think about those? Are they working?
We have done a lot of work with monitors in companies, and a lot of it depends upon who is the monitor. So it's an interesting relationship that a monitor has to a company. They're an independent person, but they're selected by in agreement depending upon who the agency is involved. But if it's the Department of Justice, Justice has a say in who the monitor is, but so does the company. That monitor has a tremendous amount of responsibility and also a pretty big stick when it comes to what the company should be doing to try to rectify the situation. So a monitor will develop a plan with usually in conjunction with the company, and they'll figure out what are the priorities, what are the things we need to fix. I think where we have seen monitors, especially if part of their charge is to think about ethics and culture and leadership, not just to look at specific compliance standards, but the broader thing, it's a very successful thing. And if the monitor has a good working relationship with the company, those are important factors.
And you're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell from our flagship radio stations, WGCH Greenwich, Yale Radio, WYBC, and syndicated nationally over the BizTalk Radio Network. We've got our final national segment coming up. Talk about how you build an ethical culture.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Here's George Foreman with InventHealth.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea
idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back with Pat Harded. And give us the simple factors. How do you build an ethical organization, an ethical culture, and how do you mitigate against the risks of it going haywire?
So there are three basic things that a company needs to know if they're going to try to focus on their culture. The first is that the things that drive culture are the tone from the top. The second is employees' relationship with their supervisor, and more importantly, whether the supervisor is trying to help employees know that they can come forward to raise concerns. And then the third piece is helping employees to know, if I have a problem, if I have a question, where can I go? So it really begins with, from the very highest parts of the organization, a continual effort to talk about the importance of the values of the organization, but also how much you care about employees raising concerns, and then helping managers to recognize when an employee is coming forward to them, to know how to respond, to know how to escalate reports of misconduct if they're coming forward. Those are pretty critical parts. And then the last piece of it is a continual messaging effort and an awareness campaign to help employees know that no matter what the concern is, no matter what the question is, they don't have to be 100% sure that there's a problem happening, but there are places they can go to report, to ask a question, to seek support. Those are the pretty critical pieces.
Now, as we all know, who've studied corporate behavior, people behave how they're paid. In other words, their compensation drives behavior. Does the culture need to be so tied into the controls and the incentive structure to make sure that they aren't being incentivized to do bad things?
Actually, the thing that I've seen that has been most effective is when organizations make ethical conduct a part of performance reviews. From senior leadership all the way down to mostly management, it's a manager and supervisor issue.
What does it mean?
So there are several behaviors that you can actually ask employees to evaluate from their supervisor or the CEO, for that matter. Do they talk about the importance of ethics? Do they model the kind of conduct that we think is in our code of conduct? Do they hold people accountable when they break the rules? And do they also offer support to employees? Do employees feel like they can come forward to them and raise concerns without fear? You can conduct surveys of employees, and it doesn't even have to be a survey, but get employee feedback and manager observations of supervisors and make that part of the evaluation standard. If it becomes part of the way you are getting paid and getting bonuses, you take it a whole lot more seriously.
Interesting. Let me ask you this, if you've seen any correlation. Wall Street puts a lot of pressures for short-term quarterly performance. Have you seen that businesses that are able to take a longer-term perspective also have healthier cultures?
I think it's a constant challenge, especially the quarterly financial performance pressures certainly change the way leadership thinks about what's most important and what do we need to be emphasizing. That's actually one of the reasons why when there's a downturn in the economy, we actually see better ethics. And it's because in a downturn, there's something about the way leadership thinks and talks to their employees. It's more about, we value you, we're going to get through this hard time, we're all in this together. That helps employees to think that ethics matters more. When the economy is good and companies are flourishing and they take more risks, they're more focused on the bottom line, and it changes the tone that comes from the top, and that filters through the organization.
Interesting. How about an example of a good culture? I know in reading one of your pieces, you cite Angie's List, for instance.
Yeah, there have been a number. I mean, there are a lot of companies out there that have gotten it right. And, they're not perfect. There's misconduct happening. If there are people in an organization, there will be problems. Angie's List is one. Etsy is another. Etsy is interesting because they have developed a regular practice of, they call them blameless postmortems, where they actually get together and admit their mistakes and try to learn from them. You could look to a lot of the companies in the defense industry. Post the Ilwin scandal of the 80s, the defense companies really not only committed to developing good, strong focuses on ethics and culture, but as an industry, they gathered together in a group and they regularly share best practices and new insights when it comes to ethics and when it comes to building and sustaining a strong culture. So you can look at companies like Lockheed Martin and Boeing and Northrop Grumman and Raytheon, and they've got very good, strong programs because of that.
You had another example, and we did a show on it, so it interested me, which is Ford, where the culture there was only report good news and even, fudge stuff if it's not. And the guy they brought in there encouraged people to say, hey, we got to, address the issues. And it almost became bad news is good news. He started saying, it's good to get in here and let us know what the real problems are.
Absolutely. And I think that was a lesson that was hard learned for them. You don't often recognize when you've created an organization where you surround yourself with people who are, it's either that they're yes people or they're afraid to tell you no, or they're afraid to tell you there's a problem or we're not going to achieve this goal. So recognizing that is happening and taking steps to invite people to admit their mistakes, to actually reward them for that, is an important change. We've also seen that at GM post they've certainly gone through a lot with the ignition switch problem.
Mm-hmm.
For them, it's been a matter of also recognizing that there were problems that were persisting. People were aware of it, but they didn't have good systems in place to actually be able to address what the problem was to make management higher up in the organization aware. And a lot of that simply comes from an environment where you can say, this isn't working, we have a problem, what are we going to do?
We're down to the last minute. Does it come down to that character matters? We sometimes hear that it doesn't seem to matter in the political world anymore, but is it important? And to get this, you got to recruit the right kind of people, too?
Character is essential, and it the character of the leaders at the top. Some of the best organizations that have terrific environments of integrity have leaders who are personally committed to these things. So it does really matter in the workplace.
We've had a great fast hour, great examples here, too, and really that a toxic culture can destroy a firm. So ethics is an important deal. Dr. Patricia Harnett's been our guest. She's the CEO of Ethics and Compliance Initiative. Her book that will be out shortly, why scandals happen, how to avoid them. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Our next show, we've got Washington Post reporter Amy Goldstein. She went inside an industrial town in Wisconsin when an auto factory shuts down. Thanks to Pat. Thanks to our national audience for listening. We'll see everybody next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.